Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter number 23 in the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 23 in the Word of God today. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now entitled A Journey in the Psalms, A Journey in the Psalms. And we're coming to a conclusion, coming to the end here of this series. And I just want to encourage you, if you're on social media, we've been advertising over the last several weeks a new sermon series that I'm going to be preaching on Sunday mornings entitled Heroes of the Faith. Heroes of the Faith. And we're going to be diving into different heroes, male and female, in the Word of God and looking at their lives and how their lives are applicable to you and I. And this is a great time. We don't advertise those for, oh yeah, it's Pastor Shepherd really wanting to get his name out there. No, the reason we're doing is we want people to be in church. If you agree with that, say amen. People ought to be in church. We want to invite them to church. And this is just an opportunity for you. We live on social media nowadays. Fight against it. You can hate it, love it, lump it, whatever you want to do with it. But we live in an era where it's an electronic era. And this is where most people are at. They live on social media. And we just want to be doing our part in getting out kind of that electronic track, inviting folks to church. Grab some tracks on your way out today. And again, this is just an opportunity. Hey, this fall we're diving into this series. It's a new series. Come and come on to church, a neighbor, a coworker, a manager, a boss, somebody you ride the bus with, and we want to invite folks to come and take a part, have a part. If they're not saved, wouldn't you love to see somebody get saved this week? Amen? And that's why you and I are here, and that is our goal, is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And so as we come kind of to a conclusion here, we're going to look at the end of this series, look at Psalm chapter number 23. We're really going to just really concentrate on one word here in a very familiar passage of Scripture. But would you please stand for the reading of God's Word, Psalm chapter number 23. And I want us to look, beginning at verse number 1. This is a psalm that was written by David, and oftentimes we hear this psalm. In fact, as soon as you begin reading verse number 1, it's a psalm that we often read at funerals. We see it many times as an encouragement to those that God is there with us, and especially verses number 2 and verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. We use this often, but it's an excellent, awesome, incredible, and very encouraging psalm that we're going to look at. I want you to look at verse number 1 with me. It says this: The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Look what he does, this shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How can we fear no evil in this sight of death? For thou art with me. Oh, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of who? Well, mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, Our Shepherd. Our Shepherd. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the song service this morning. We're uplifted, we're encouraged, Father, and now we're ready to receive the Word of God. I ask, Father, in a day and age when we take so much time to get physically ready for church, that now we would be spiritually ready. Ready to hear what you have for us. Father, not looking around the room at who's not here today. Not with a judgmental attitude of, oh, they should be here, and boy, I'm telling shame on. No, Father, for a moment, can we just concentrate on ourselves? Look at our own hearts, our own lives. The areas that we need to change and grow. The areas that we feel were a disappointment this past week. Lord, I ask that you would allow us to give it to you now. Father, that we'd concentrate on your name. That, Father, we'd take these moments and say, Father, Lord, great shepherd, speak to me. Father, there might be one in here that had a really bad week. they're discouraged. Father, lift them up in the Word today. Father, there may be one here that this is their last-ditch effort to find something positive on this earth. Give it to them today. Lord, there may be one here, and they've been in church a long time. And they've given money in the offering plate. Maybe they've even sung in the choir. But they don't know you. Would today be that day? Father, I love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Before we can really unpack this incredible and familiar verse, we must get a sense of what verse number one is talking about. This term that is used here, shepherd, what does it really mean? What are the benefits, as we just read a lot of them in six short verses? What are the benefits that this shepherd has for you and I? You see, in the Word of God, you and I will often find several places, not just in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, that describe who God is. You see, David penned the words we see here, and being a shepherd himself, he truly took life experiences and began to explain what the amazing personal Savior is to him. He begins to explain what this shepherd is also to you and I. And as we begin to look at this term shepherd, I believe that it's important for you and I to comprehend that God is so much more than just, well, this fire insurance. It's so much more than just, okay, we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Okay, great, we're not going to hell, so we're good now. No, comprehend that. God is so much more than that for you and I, not just in the days to come. It's not just looking at you and I being in heaven one day and the benefits that we're going to have in heaven. No, that there are benefits that Jesus Christ gives for you and I living in this day and age, living in this culture, living in this society, living in September of 2021. God is so much for you and I. So as we look at this passage here, I want you to look at this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, if you're taking notes this morning, I'd like for you to remember this. Number one, the shepherd loves the sheep. The shepherd loves the sheep. The Bible talks about Jesus in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 34. It says this, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was," listen to the wording here, "moved with compassion towards them because they were a sheep having not a shepherd, and began to teach them many things." You see, the shepherd that we're talking about today is our Abba Father. He is Jesus Christ. And what compassion Jesus has on you and me. Even though we may be unlovely, Jesus Christ still loves you and I. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren." Now listen to these brethren's name. He said, "Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now watch very carefully as we unpack this for just a moment. Jesus here begins to choose his disciples. Jesus begins to go out, and the early part of his ministry, he begins to call unto him 12 men that he is going to use in a great way in his ministry, not only in the time that he was on earth, but also the time that after he was gone and departed from them and gave his life on a tree. What I love about this fact is that Jesus came to Peter and to Andrew. The Bible says that they are fishermen. He did not comprehend to the king. He did not go to Caesar. He did not go to the king of men or to some big shot pastor or to a political giant of the day in Galilee. No, my friend, he came to the fishermen. He went to the lowly. He went to those who had a life and said, "I'm going to use it for Jesus Christ." When he came unto them, the Bible says that they dropped their nets immediately and began to follow Jesus. You see, today, how this is applicable to you and I is this. Now watch and tune in. There are many in the day and age that we live that they've gone through a life of heartache. They've spent time in prison. There are many who have been through a divorce once, twice, maybe even three times. There are those who would say, I've not been very successful in raising my kids. I have not had good kids, and they have not done very much for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who would say, even this past week, I have been so enveloped in sin and been so involved in sin that I haven't taken much time to read the Word of God. I have not been in the Bible like I should have been. I have not been living my life like maybe I ought to. You see, there are many living today that say, I will never amount to anything. They may look worthless to the world, but the beauty of the shepherd is this. He says, look, no matter what society says about you, no matter what culture says about you, no matter what the world or the corporate ladder says about your life, the shepherd says this to you and me, you are worth everything to me. You see, you are perfect, friend, just the way that you are. Maybe it's time to stop creating God in your image and let Him create you in His. Maybe it's time to stop looking for the world to give you confidence and approval. And maybe it's time to let God scoop you up in His love. The world may look at you and I, and the world may say, they're not going to amount to anything. They'll never be used in a great way. My goodness, their life is such a waste. But friend, when you give your life to the shepherd, he says this, I don't care what your family background is. I don't care what your family tree is. I don't care where you've been. I only care where you're going. Friend, he is after your soul today. You see, the shepherd, he loves his sheep, even though they may be unlovely. But watch this very carefully. Even though they may be ungodly. Ungodly? Absolutely. You see, there's a passage of scripture in the book of Luke talking about Jesus now at the end of his ministry. He has just given his life and he's dying on an old rugged cross. There are two thieves that are on either side of him being crucified as well. They deserve to be on that tree. And the Bible records for us in the book of Luke chapter 23, it says this, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, one of the thieves talking, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, listen very carefully, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I believe this is one of the greatest examples of Christ's love for the ungodly. Here is a man who deserved to be on that tree. Here is a man who deserved his punishment. Yet this man is going to die and be with Jesus in eternity forever and ever. Comprehend this. This man did not understand justification. This man on that cross was not a member of a church. He was not baptized. He wasn't in Sunday school. He didn't understand the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't know probably what atonement meant. He was not a preacher or a teacher. He was probably honestly not a very good man. And yet, comprehend this. Today, when you and I, when you and I are called up out of here, whether it be by death or the trump of God, you and I are going to meet that thief that died on a cross one day. He may not be able to explain everything that took place that day, but he had faith in Jesus Christ. And although many may question him, oh, well, who were you? Were you one of the part of the apostles? Were you part of the martyrs? Were you part of those that spent their life on the mission field or teaching a Sunday school class or spent time in the orchestra or choir? Were you one of the ones that gave a lot of money to build that building there in 1983? No. Here's the thief on the cross that will say, no, it is not by me. It's nothing that I did. It just happened to be that at the last moment, I met the man on the middle cross, and he said that I could spend all of eternity with him, and I trusted him. And friend, isn't it amazing? We'll meet him one day. You see, Christ loves. He loves those that maybe they seem ungodly. Maybe to you and I, they're not going to amount to very much. Maybe even this past week you've messed up. Maybe once again you've dove back into that gossip, that pornography. Maybe you dove back into that bitter spirit. Maybe you dove back into the negativity of this world. Maybe you've ignored him. Maybe you stood there and once again begin to dive back into whatever sinful habit that's in your life. Maybe you can't stop it. Maybe you say this seems like it was just a week that I don't know. It just almost feels like the last 7 days were a complete waste. Friend, comprehend this. Here's the dangerous thing about Jesus. Here's the dangerous thing about our shepherd. He's not after your outward appearance. He's after your heart. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is going to relentlessly and passionately pursue your heart. Even when your behavior tricks everyone else, you and I cannot trick Jesus. He's going to come after you and I. A.W. Tozer said it like this: "This generation has forgotten that the gospel message does not clean up and shine the outside of a person. Rather, it bores into the very heart of the soul of a person and radically changes that person from the inside out forever." Friend, you and I can walk in this place today with the shoes shined and the suit on and sing in the choir or lift our voices in a hymn. You and I can come in and have the big old family Bible under our arm. You and I can walk in here holding hands with our spouse, acting like everything's all hunky-dory. We can act and fool everybody, including this preacher in this room. But friend, you cannot fool God. He knows you and I. You believe that? Say amen. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Like, we're like, oh, yeah. Amen, Pastor. Yeah, that's right. He knows us. No, think about it. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows exactly what's in your heart and in your mind. Food? Hungry? You say, yeah, Pastor, now I'm hungry. Okay, well, nonetheless, getting out of here, the visitor I brought today, stuff I got to do tomorrow, got a relationship problem, family problem, bitterness. Isn't it funny? You and I could come in and have whatever you want to do, whether you fist bump or hug or social distance. I don't even care anymore, but comprehend this. You and I can act like we're all friends, a buddy-buddy. Do you know that God knows if you're mad at somebody in this very room? No, he knows. And yet, isn't it amazing that he still loves you and I? And friend, we're not always lovely, are we? We're not always like the most, come here, let me just scoop you up. No, sometimes we are that unlovely, that ungodly. But you know, he also loves the uninterested. The Bible says and gives us a warning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but evil men, watch this, and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The day and age that you and I live in, we are not living, as some would say, in the millennium period. We are not in a thousand-year reign right now, friend. We comprehend that the world is getting worse and worse and worse. We're not in that dispensational period. The dispensational period that you are in, we are being warned that we're not talking about, and I believe this, we're not talking about the great falling away. Anybody grow up in church, remember your grandparents, Brother Bryant? Remember our grandparents talking about the great falling away? Friend, I believe we're living in the great falling away right now. God could come back at any moment. I don't know if you've tuned in at all, but people don't really like Christians. Have you figured that out yet? Like, CNN's not really for us. You know what I mean? Like, Fox News. Yeah, even Fox News. They're not really seriously for us. Hollywood, they hate us. Well, don't get all weird on me. They do. The world hates us. And God said it's going to happen. But the attitude that you and I ought to have is this. Jesus Christ's blood died for every sinner. Everyone. Now, friend, I have heard this, and I'm not bringing this up, but I just want to warn us today that over the Middle East is some really horrific things that are happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Horrific. Like, we think we're all persecuted because, you know, it's cold in here this morning. Or, you know, for some of you, hot flashes or whatever, like, it's too hot in here this morning. And we're really persecuted, aren't we? And somebody took our parking spot. Look, I get it. Parking lot is not really made for, like, walking in. Doesn't matter where you park in our parking lot. You got to walk a country mile. You know what I'm talking about? So, unless, well, that's a, there's real persecution that's taking place overseas. People dying, being beheaded, tortured to death for our Savior. Now, we can have the attitude, yeah, bless God, wish we had a Wish we had a president there. Just go over there and just nuke them all. Just wipe them out. Or we can have an attitude like our Savior. It says, He died for them too. I understand today we live in a viral, can I just say it that way? Wicked world. Wickedness has gone viral and very accepted. There used to be a day and age where preachers would stand behind the pulpit and thunder the word of God at the agendas of today. And isn't it amazing? I read the statistic just two Sunday nights ago that now we're in the 54th percentile of evangelical Christians that really wish that we would just stop preaching against the gay and lesbian agenda and just be accepting of love today. Friend, I'm just going to put it this way. As long as there is breath in our lungs, may you and I never compromise what the Word of God says. Amen. You and I ought to never, doesn't matter if we deem it under women's rights or not. Friend, I'm going to put it this way. You and I ought to never be okay with the butchering of innocent kids and put it under the guise or the disguise of abortion. Friend, it is never going to be okay to take the life of an innocent child. If you agree with that, say amen. But the answer is not mad, wicked. Oh, I'm just telling you, can't wait for the judgment day. And God just take those people out of, boy, there's a hell coming and it's going to be hot. No, our attitude and our thought life towards those people ought to be, Jesus Christ's blood was shed for that person just as much as it was me. The surgeon that would take that little baby's life, friend, Jesus said it is finished for his or her life as well. The person that would behead one of our brothers and sisters in Christ in Afghanistan and cry out, no matter if it be Allah or another God, friend, me, I put it this way, Jesus Christ died for that man just as he did you and I. And the mind has to change that Jesus Christ, our shepherd, he's a shepherd that loves this world. Loves it so much that he gave his life for it. God forbid we ever become 220 Country Club Road and we just hang out and we just, you know, we're cool, we're good, and we're part of God's crowd and we're okay where we're at. No, friend, we ought to not be okay where we're at. We ought to look to the great shepherd. We ought to look to him each and every day and ask for opportunities. God, how can I have an effect on this world? You see, this shepherd, oh, what a shepherd he is. This shepherd loves the sheep, but secondly, the shepherd died for his sheep. He died for his sheep. You see, he died voluntarily. It upsets me. This is just personal. This is not like totally, everybody just listen. This is not the Holy Spirit really kicking in here. I'm just going to say it like this is just me. This is Thomas Shepherd for a moment. It really gets under my skin. When you're watching something like Discovery Channel or History Channel or National Geographic and a bunch of other, that think they know all about Jesus and about his word, and they talk about him and how they took his life and how, you know, they had to hold him down, they had to do this. Look, I'm just going to put it this way. The Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ, his life was not taken, that he gave his life voluntarily. Friend, it is not, listen, I know whatever you tune into, I'm not trying to get under your skin, I'm just saying this. If you're listening to one of those channels, National Geographic, somebody, I don't care if it's a televangelist or somebody that is talking about that they had to take his life, friend, that is not Bible. He was not made. He voluntarily laid down his life. My friend, the Pharisees could not stop him. Pilate could not find fault in him. The witnesses could not get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. The grave could not hold him. Satan didn't trick him. He wasn't surprised when he took his last breath on the cross. He didn't take commands from anyone on that day. He truly laid down his life on the cross. In fact, the Bible says, "For the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." He laid it down voluntarily, but he also laid it down and he died vicariously. That means this, he took our place. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 7 says, "Not of works of righteousness, righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly, listen now, through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Friend, I love it that Jesus Christ, yes, he laid down his life and he laid it down on his own, but the reason that he laid it down was to take the place for you and for me. I love the song that says, it was for me he died, for me he cried, for me he shed his blood upon a tree. It was for me he came, for me he shamed, for me, oh praise his name. It was for me. Friend, he died vicariously, but also he died victoriously. The Bible says in Matthew 28 and verse number 5, now tune in, I know I'm moving fast, but you got to hear this. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. I love that hymn that we sing. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Friend, the shepherd loves his sheep, and the shepherd died for his sheep. And you may sit here today and say, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, nobody called me, nobody follows me, nobody likes my YouTube page, nobody even cares I'm here. Friend, you put those thoughts aside for a moment and comprehend that there is a God in heaven that sent his only begotten Son, and he didn't die for a select few. He didn't die for just the elect. He thought of you that day, friend. He died, he was buried, and check it out, he rose from the grave. Like literally, he arose from the grave. We've buried some people lately. We're going to see them in heaven real soon. And Pastor Foe, in the last several months, as we've gone out and we've just seen, I just begin to look at all those tombstones that are there. So-and-so died, lived from this time, and they died at this time. God may not come, and I may see him soon. Look, I know I'm 38, but I'm not promised another day. And on my tombstone, it will say June 23rd, 1983, and I'll have this little dash, and after that, it'll have the day that I die. And they'll take this old body, and they'll put a suit on it, and they'll put it in a casket, and they'll put it in the grave, and there I will be until this old body hears the trumpet sound, it's out of here. Let me tell you this. Go to the tomb where Jesus was buried, and there's nobody there. If they gave Jesus a tombstone and put the date on there, somebody had to go back and chisel it out, because he's not dead, friend. I came up with that myself, so if you tweet it, you put my name on it. He's alive. How many believe he's alive today? What a shepherd you and I have. Man, this shepherd, he loves his sheep. The shepherd died for his sheep. But I want you to listen very carefully and watch this. The shepherd also gives life to the sheep. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Psalm 100, verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, Jesus Christ died, but it was not in vain. He gives life. The shepherd gives life to you and to me. What kind of life does he give us? Well, he gives us eternal life, is what the Bible says. Eternal life, friend, is this, that you and I, maybe we are one day buried. But you know, it's just this old vessel, this body that's buried. our soul goes on into eternity. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The moment that you and I are saved, the moment that you and I take our last breath and our heart stops beating that blood through all of our veins, at that moment, you and I will slip into eternity. And there, I can't even say it without smiling, like there we will be with our Savior forever. Like forever. Well, what are we going to do up there? It's God. Who cares? He's preparing a place for you and me. The Bible says this: I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen very carefully. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That means this, friend. If you're saved today, you and I know without a doubt, there's no doubt, that we are going to spend an eternity in heaven. If that's you today, say amen. Now that's enough, I don't care what age you are, to get up and click your heels and praise him. I mean, just look, we're saved. Well, come on, I heard some of you watching the football game last night. You knew a little bit better than that. You cheered harder for a football. If you're saved, we ought to be excited, amen? Yeah, we're on the winning side. My football team almost lost last night, but they didn't. But they will. No amens right there. They will. Guess what? Say, people, we win. No, like we win. Yeah, but I watched the local news this morning. Well, first of all, shame on you. It's Sunday. Get away from the news for a little bit. No, let me just put that. That's just me personal, not the Holy Spirit again. But let me put it this way. You know what? Get off the news for a little bit. Get in the Word of God. Jump into Revelation like some really crazy, crazy stuff's going to take place. But at the end, guess who wins? Jesus does. Don't you feel like every once in a while, like, we're losing? Some of you that are in your 60s and 70s, 80s, maybe even 90s in here, I'm not sure. Some of you have been around for a good while. This is a little bit past post-World War II era. Like, does it ever feel to y'all? I know it has to. It has to feel like we've lost a lot of ground. Feels like our nation is not what it used to be. Let me encourage you today. It's okay. We win. Amen. Let's vote. Let's do our job. Let's be good patriots. But in the end, it's not about America. It's about God. Amen. It's about him. And in the end, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for all of eternity. Amen. Now, hold on. But if you're not saved today, the news for you right now is still really good. Pastor Shepherd, how's that? Because you haven't died yet. But the Bible is clear. If you die and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, at that moment, it will be too late. It's done. There's no second chances. You get one shot. And it's in this life to accept him. Can I ask you, do you know him? No, do you know him? Friend, if you don't know him today, today's your day. Like today, this morning. We want to talk to you. Now hold on, don't shut your Bibles. Just a minute. Look. Just watch. Today is the day that we will take you aside and not share with you, well, here's what I think. Well, you know, this is just what Tom Miller says. This is just what Gary Hughes, this is what they've always said. No, it's not about you and me. Excuse me, Brother Miller, it's not you and I. We're going to take the Bible and we're going to share with you how you can know for sure that Christ you're saved by what the Word of God says. Because Gary, you've been wrong before. Kendra's shaking her head. No, I've been wrong before. But Tom, you've been wrong before. That Bible's never been wrong. Amen. We'll show you. how you can know. But listen. He gives life, but he doesn't just give life for what's to come. Do you know that God gives life right here on this earth? I don't want to be a Christian. Good grief. You have to go to church all the time. You have to smile. You have to have stuff like peace and joy and happiness. And you have to be one of those happy people that no matter what happens, they're like, even death, good grief, they're always happy. Boy, who would want to be a Christian? Yeah, that's right. Because your sin's really doing it for you, isn't it? The habitual sin makes you feel so good. Have you found that void in your life you've been looking for? I mean, is the drugs and the alcohol that's really doing it? How's the divorce going for you? I mean, the bitterness, is that really helping me out there? I mean, it's just living in that life of pride. How's that done for you? Because I'll just be honest with you, friend, that's not life at all. But the life of Jesus Christ says this: I will break the chains of darkness and sin and addictions that's in your life. I'm going to make you a new creature, a creature that even in this life is worth living. Why? Because I will give you peace. Not as the world give I you peace, but a peace that is real and genuine. And I'm going to give you a peace that passeth all understanding. And I'm going to give you joy even in the hard times and the struggles and the storms of life. Why? Because you don't have to do it on your own. You've got a shepherd that's going to carry you through. And I'm going to give you security that you don't have to go to sleep at night wondering where you're going to spend an eternity. No, friend, I'm going to give you security, not as the world gives you, but security that, friend, you and I will live with him for all of eternity. It's one old preacher that said, Bobby Robertson said, even if there was no heaven, I still want to live the life of a Christian. Why? Because we know what happiness and joy and peace and real satisfaction is. The shepherd gives that to you and I. The cool thing is, he gives it to us free. How many like the word free? Like three of you? Really? Like, I love free. It's the best price ever. Free. Get on Facebook Marketplace. I want to see all these other prices. I'm just going to put in free. What's my neighbor's giving away? Not for, well, I'll take $10. Like, I carry cash anymore. Can't you just give it to me? You know what I'm saying? Anybody with me? Okay, maybe I'm the only one. This is awkward now. I don't know what free is. Do you want happiness and joy and peace? There's no fine print. There's no here it is, but you have to do this too. No. You and I just have to accept his free gift of salvation. He gave it to us. It's ours. Amen. Don't be discouraged today, friend. You got a shepherd. No, not Pastor Shepherd. I'm talking about a shepherd that will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, my family, well, my friends, well, you can put all them in one category as I have done, because there is one that will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he gives you and I life. Oh, it's to come. You and I are going to be worshiping and praising. We're going to have the time of our lives for all of eternity. But you know, he gives us life right down here to where we can smile and enjoy each other. I know times are tough. I can't stand coronavirus. I hate cancer. Man, it's such a pain going to doctors and seeing nurses. I praise the Lord for them. But, you know, bills, you pay them and they keep coming back. It's ridiculous. You know, look, life is tough sometimes. But God is always good. He's always good. Pastor Foe says something that maybe I've never heard anybody say quite like him, but I always, in our conversations, Pastor, I'll talk to him, I'll say, Pastor Defoe, boy, God is so good. And Pastor Defoe, without blinking, always says, all the time. That's our shepherd. And when you have that shepherd, verse number one, I shall not want. There's nothing else that you need. Why? He is the great I am. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's Jesus. He's God. He's everything we need.